I could just stay in worship all night. Yeah, that's so good. I'm honored to be here and to be a friend of Pastor Craig and many of you here. Just so excited just to be part of what God's doing here together. And I was, there's so many different directions. I'm just like trying to pull it in, trying to focus. Let's pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your glory. We thank you for your presence here tonight. And Lord, we just engage with what you are doing and with what you are saying. And we participate and we yield to what you are saying and what you are doing and what your desire is. And we just come into agreement that it would be here now on earth, just like it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So back in, I think it's 3 weeks ago now, I think it was on December the 18th. It was on a Wednesday night. And I am a dreamer, and God primarily speaks to me through dreams, and I'm very visual. Ever since I was a kid, God had spoke to me through dreams and just very visual things. I think the older I've got, it's come to more different variations of encounters and so forth. I'm not going to get into that, but on December the 18th, is on a Wednesday night, I go home from church and I go into this dream. And in the dream, Holy Spirit began. I'm not going to get into all of the details of the dream, but I just want to hit a few of the highlights right now. What Holy Spirit is breathing on and what I shared with Pastor Craig earlier. And in the dream, after the dream was over, I was just meditating on it and asking Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to the body in this? And he spoke to me and said that there is a return of ancient spirits coming back into America. A return of ancient spirits coming back into America. And the reason, I will get into that here shortly, but there was a return of ancient spirits back into America, and there were four particular spirits that we would be contending with and wrestling with, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, evil spirits in the heavenly places, and so on. But he showed me these four specific spirits that were returning to America, and their assignment against the body of Christ. And there was a boss who was over the group of four, and then the other three specifically were, number one, the spirit of seduction, the spirit of illusion, and then the spirit of entrapment, the spirit of seduction, the spirit of illusion, and the spirit of entrapment. And what I saw in this dream, the spirit of seduction was seducing the body of Christ, or the bride of Christ, to his abode and to his house. And what happens with seduction, I have often thought of the spirit of seduction as, you know, like on Valentine's Day, you see the little Cupid, got the little bow and arrow, you know, shooting the little arrows of love and all of this. But when I encountered in the dream, face to face, the spirit of seduction, it was one of the most hideous spirits, violent. I'm talking about the violence was just, And I was talking with Craig through this, and I'm just still processing so much of that because of the intensity of the urgency on this. And so this spirit of seduction was actually seducing the body of Christ to come to His place because there were unmet needs, things that were, people were being disappointed, people had given up in certain areas of their life, things that they were believing God for that didn't happen, that didn't come to place. And because of that disappointment and because of frustration and because things didn't happen in a time frame that they thought that they should happen in, they yielded so easy to this spirit of seduction. And the purpose of this spirit of seduction is absolute destruction. And so it was the seduction that led to illusions, and the illusions led to entrapment. And so the end game was to trap or to entrap the body, entrap the bride of Christ to a place to where they thought that they would never be able to get out of. When I was inside of this house of these four spirits, when I was in their house and I was observing and I was seeing what was taking place with the bride and how seduction would move in and then how seduction and illusion worked together, illusion helped to paint a picture that was untrue. And so these illusions cause the person or the member of the body of the bride of Christ to think that it was okay to be in the place that they were at because of the deception that was going on. So what began to happen is I saw where the leader of these spirits, the leader of the Nephilim spirits, I guess you would say, the leader would begin to reach out to members of the body of the bride of Christ and begin to offer some type of protection from seduction, protection from illusions, protection from entrapment. But it was all just a mastermind plan of entrapping the body of Christ and really crippling the body of Christ to a place of ineffectiveness. And so as I was going through this and seeing what was taking place, the leader of the spirits would say to certain business owners and certain business leaders, he said, if you will take my label and put it on your product, you will no longer be in a financial crisis, a financial situation in your business. And so what I saw would take place is different business owners and leaders would take that label. All this guy was asking, put my label on your product. And as business owners and leaders would take his label and put it on their products, overnight their products, their businesses would just begin to grow and to increase and expand. And many of them would turn around and say, wow, this has to be God. Look how my business is growing. Look how it's prospering. Look how it came out of this financial crisis or this financial dilemma that I was in. But yet, as while this was going on, I began to see there was other people inside of the house that were saying, man, this is not right. This is not right. Something's not right. This is not right. Something's not right about this. There were voices begin to speaking louder and louder and louder to the body and to the bride. This place is not the place where you're supposed to be. And finally, there were members of the body that began to recognize, wait a minute, this is not right. I have been in an illusion. I have been seduced. And so they decided they were going to get out of this house. But as they started to get out of the house, here's where it got tricky. Say, we know the door is right there, the exit is right there, and if we want to stand up and leave, we stand up and we go out there. But what happened in this house of entrapment, is you could see the exit, but when you started going toward it, it would flip over to this wall or flip over to this wall, and you would see a set of stairs going down to the exit, and you would start going down, and you'd go down escalators, and then they would divert you another. And so literally it got to a place of absolute hopelessness and chaos because of the illusions. Oh, I got to go here, and you start going here, and now the door is in the ceiling, or now, and it's just like always putting these things out of reach, until finally at this place the body and the bride begin to cry out, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you've got, we're stuck, we're done, it's over. Unless you help us get out of this mess, it is absolutely over, it's done. I talked with Pastor Craig and I said, you know me, we have walked together for years. I am the happy, optimistic guy who is always saying there is a light at the end of the tunnel for the body of Christ. This is good. It's all gonna work out. And ultimately, I do believe that. But in the prophetic, the Lord is starting to show me things that I am very uncomfortable with, things that I don't like. Has God ever showed you something that you don't like? Something that you're very, very uncomfortable with. It's like, no, this is not me. I like the happy stuff. I like the happy stuff, God. Come on now. Why am I seeing this kind of stuff? It was so terrifying to me in this dream and in this encounter. And the sense of urgency that was on it, it did something to me when you see and they begin to experience something like that. And so, when the people of God began to cry out for the Holy Spirit to begin to help them out of this place of entrapment, it was at that moment when the body, when the bride began to ask for the assistance of Holy Spirit, it was Holy Spirit who delivered the body out of that place of entrapment. But what I began to see as Holy Spirit began to deliver the body out of that place of entrapment, and I'm not saying, don't read into this wrong, I'm not saying the body of Christ as a whole is in a trap right now. I think there are many people in the body of Christ who are in a place of entrapment. I don't believe the whole body is there, because I believe in the dream there were other people who were continually pointing to the bride and to the ones around saying, this is not right, this is not right, come on, we got to come out of this. But as the people of God began to go back to the dependency on the person of Holy Spirit to bring deliverance and breakthrough, people began to be transported out of that house to the outside. But what I notice is with many people who were delivered out of the house, they still had hooks and strings attached to them. And so they would begin to go out and those spirits would just reel them right back in. And what happens is a lot of times if somebody experiences freedom for a moment, they think they can go back to the same pattern of systems and cycles and mindsets that got them into the mess, but they think this time it's going to be different. But see, there has to be a total severing of the mindset and the lifestyle that got you into the mess to get you out and to stay out. And Holy Spirit showed me in that how that those strings, it's almost like the enemy is like this puppet master at times. And so I began to think about this. I began to pray into this more and more on how am I going to talk about this? This is not the kind of stuff I share. I'm the type of guy that shares revival is coming. The move of God is coming. Breakthrough is coming. Deliverance is coming. Change is coming. Transformation is coming. Empowerment is coming. I'm not the one who wants to stand up and say entrapment is here. That's not me. But yet, I have been privileged to see this, to share with the body. And Holy Spirit in this began to show me. He said, I want you to see this. There is never a trap without a trail. There's never a trap without a trail. When we used to go, deer hunt in my grandmother's land, she had 140 something acres up in North Carolina. And when we used to hunt up there, often we would look for the deer trails. We like to find out where they're coming in, where they're going out. Or rabbit hunting, we like to look for the rabbit trails. Or, you know, we like to look for the trails. And if we could find the trail, we could know where to set up. And there's many people in the body of Christ who are wearing out trails, going from the plan, the purposes, the pursuit of God, out enjoying sin for a season, coming back, thinking, oh man, I got away with it. And what happens is when you start going in and out and in and out, you start creating a trail. But what happens is there's not a trap without a trail. If there has ever been a time to get clean with God, now is the time to get clean with God. Because these days of bouncing back and forth from the world into the kingdom, back and forth, I'm telling you, it will come to a time that will lead to such a place of entrapment and absolute hopelessness and helplessness unless we can come to the place to where we say, okay, I know, Holy Spirit, you are the one who can get me out of this mess, and I want to break the cycle of sin. I want to break the cycle of things that got me into this mess. I don't want to just get out of the mess and the mess still be in me. And I know this is not something that we just have a lot of shouting and running around and people dancing off the chandeliers and all of that. But I think it's such a sobering warning to the body of Christ. And so while I'm thinking through that, and for almost over three weeks now, I've been thinking through that and praying into that and just asking Holy Spirit, give me as much insight. I want to be able to communicate clearly what's going on and how that we as the body of Christ stand and how that we help those who are in cycles of sin and cycles of entrapment to get them all the way with no strings attached to them. And so I said, okay, why is this taking place? Why is this taking place? Because anytime that the Lord is doing something, the enemy wants to try to counter what God is doing. Now, many people will say, okay, since the enemy is doing this, now God is going to do this. That's not how it works. God does this, and then the enemy is always trying to counteract what he is doing. And through this, I realized most of us are need-driven. I need to pray. I'm going to mess with you here for a minute. Can I mess with you? I need to pray. I need to read my Bible. I need to go to work. I need to do. It's so easy to be involved in a need-driven life that everything drives us because of a particular need. Say, God needs me to go witness to this person. God needs me to pastor this church. God needs me to go to that church to preach. God needs me to be a witness. What if I told you that God don't need you? What if I told you God don't need you to lead worship? We think we need to for Him. We think we need to do a lot of things for God. What if I told you God don't need us to do anything? That God don't need us. He don't need you. Some of you are getting mad at me right now. God don't need me. God don't need you. But He wants me. And He wants you. Because He said, if I was hungry, do you think I would ask you? If I was cold, do you think I would ask you? If I needed anything? That's what He said in Scripture. That's what He said through the prophet. If I was cold, if I was hungry, do you think I would ask you? I don't need you, but I want you. Now see, there's a difference between a need-driven mindset and now realizing, wait a minute, it's not needs driving me, it's relationship that's driving me. He don't need me, buddy. He wants me. He wants me. He wants me. And if He wants me, then what is my responsibility then? My responsibility then is to surrender either to His want, His desire, because, like we were talking about, man, I don't want to just be name, pull out any title. I want to be a friend. I want to be a friend of God. How many of us just want to be a friend? Say, I want to be a friend. I want to be a friend. I want to be a friend. What does that look like? Knowing that I'm not needed, but I'm wanted. He wants me. He wants me. So I said, if this is the thing that the enemy is doing, what is it that he is trying to counteract what Yahweh is doing? So he took me back to Exodus chapter 17. And right after Israel came out of Egypt, the first enemy that they had to deal with was an unseen enemy. You'll find it in Exodus chapter number 17. There were two enemies that they faced in Exodus 17. They saw an unseen enemy, and then they saw a seen enemy, an enemy that could be seen. The first enemy that they faced was the enemy of thirst. What are we really thirsty for? What are we really thirsty for? And their thirst got so intense that they're like, hey, Moses, you got to do something about this, or we're done. We're killing you. Moses goes to God and said, hey, God, they're fixing to kill me. We need to do something. And he said, I want you to take the rod that you used to split the Red Sea. I want you to take the rod and see that rock. I want you to hit the rock with the staff. Now, the staff represented in the Hebrew culture in the testimonies of what God has done. The testimonies were written on that staff. And every time they had the staff, they could be reminded of the things that God has done and the testimonies that they had experienced, encounters. So he said, take your encounters, take your testimony to the rock and hit it, boom, and water began to flow out. What was interesting in Exodus 17 is the people were hungry enough to complain, but they weren't hungry enough to seek God on what to do. Could it be that often we find ourselves in a place that we're hungry enough to complain about something, but not hungry enough to seek the Lord about what to do in the situation? All right, that went over well. So, look what happened in this valley in transition. Notice they were in transition coming from Egypt into the promised land, and in transition, and that's what we have heard about for the past 2 years. Transition, 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 transition. But in transition, I want you to look what happened. In transition, there was a blockage that prevented them from experiencing the flow that Yahweh had for them at that moment. So Moses had to take his history with the Lord, and first time he hits the rock, and what was not seen because of the blockage was now seen, and there was a flow. I want to declare this night that blockages in transition that have prevented the people of God from experiencing the flow of what He has for them in this time of transition, that in the name of Jesus, that those blockages are being broken and the people of God will be able to experience the flow in the middle of the transition, coming from what was and coming into what shall be. Blockages that have prevented the flow of resources, blockages that have prevented the flow of tools and finances and help, we want to just declare in the name of Jesus, those things are being removed over this body, over this house, over this city, over this region. In the name of Jesus, blockages are being broken in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So now after the blockages were removed and they stepped into the flow, the enemy showed up. I want to show to you three types of people that you're going to need on your team to experience complete breakthrough. Amalek then came to fight against Israel at Rephidim. The word Rephidim in Hebrew means a place of rest. So they should have been enjoying the rest that was a product of the flow that they had just experienced. But in that place of rest where they should have been experiencing the flow, then enemy shows up. Amalek shows up. And Moses said in verse number 9 of Exodus 17, Joshua, you select some men and fight. You select the men. There's three groups of people here that I want to talk about that are what the enemy wants to shut down and the reason for the return of the ancient spirits and the release of the spirit of seduction, the spirit of illusions, and the spirit of entrapment. Because there's three people groups that the Lord was raising up in that time of transition, and I think they're still the same three people groups that He's raising up right now. Number one, there were the worshipers. These are the three W's, Craig. You're going to like this. There were the worshipers, the watchers, and the warriors. Amen. The worshipers, the watchers, and the warriors. Now, Moses said to Joshua, I want you to go out. You get to pick your team. Now, what's cool about this is that here's two generations. Moses is 83 plus years at this point. Joshua is, guess what, 20 years old. Boom, ba-dum, boom, 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 boom. This is the Joshua, this is the Daniel, this is the Joseph generation. two generations. Now Moses told Joshua, you get to pick your team. You get to pick your teammates. You get to pick the ones who are going to be fighting with you tomorrow. I'm not going to elaborate on all that. I'm just going to hit you some highlights. Aaron and Hur goes up with Moses to the hill on the next day. Joshua goes into battle. You know the story. Joshua is in the battle, and as long as Moses' hands are lifted, Joshua is winning. Here's the fight on two different fronts. You've got the boots on the ground, and you've got the warriors up in the heavens. The worshipers. These are the third heaven worshipers. So Moses is up here. He's got his hands lifted. As long as his hands are lifted, what is interesting is it says that Aaron and Hur noticed. They connected some dots. Moses' hands up, Joshua's winning. Moses' hands down, Joshua is losing. Watch this. Joshua was engaged in a battle that was 100% the will of God because Moses told him to go do it. And yet, sometimes he was winning and sometimes he was losing. Sometimes he was winning. He couldn't see what was going on the hill. All he knew is, I have an assignment. And sometimes I'm doing real good on my assignment. And sometimes I'm not doing so well in my assignment. But he was still in the will. See, a lot of times when we get pushed back, we start questioning, am I in the will of God? What is going on? I thought I'm doing what God called me to do. But look at Joshua. And what I want to tell you is, sometimes in this story of life, sometimes you're Joshua. Sometimes you're Moses. And sometimes you're Aaron or Hur. Joshua warriors do not get tired of fighting. Through the whole time he was fighting, not one scripture says that Joshua got wore out fighting. Mm-mm. Joshua warriors don't get tired of doing, whether they're winning or losing. They just keep on going, man. But watch this. Joshua didn't get tired of fighting, but Moses got tired of praying. He got tired in his praying. He got tired in his worshiping. He got tired in that. Why is that? Because spiritual warfare will do something to the core of a person who does not stay connected to that. Hands down. I'm just, boom, watch, okay. It does not say that Joshua could see what was going on. Joshua just knew, man, I've got an assignment. Sometimes it's working, sometimes it ain't. He didn't have a clue what's going on up here. I would like to propose to you, according to the text, Moses didn't have a clue what was going on either. But according to the text, Aaron and Hur, they had an elevated perspective and they could see what was going on the battlefield and they could see what was going on with Moses. These are the watchers. And what did Aaron and Hur do? They started connecting some dots. Hey bro, did you see this? Moses lifts his hands up. Look at this. They're winning. Look, Moses getting tired. His hands coming down. Joshua's getting pushed back. The watchers are people in your life who can observe what is going on from an elevated position of authority and who can speak into your life and say, let me connect some dots for you. The reason the battle is going bad down here is because we got to get your hands up over here. And it says, which is quite perplexing, that Joshua or that Aaron and Hur rolled a big rock up, they let Moses sit down, and for the rest of the day, they kept his hands up. Ultimately, Joshua comes in and wipes Amalek out. So there's three types of people who are needed in a national victory. There are the Joshuas, who are the boots on the ground. There are the Aarons and the Hurs, the watchers, who can see from an elevated position. And watch this. They did not consult Moses and say, hey, Moses, I think we need to do this. They took initiative and did what needed to be done. Joshua had to have instructions, but the watchers, those guys took initiative. Now, in this story of three different types of people, there are four people. There is Aaron, there is Hur, there is Moses, and there is Joshua. Do you realize the ratio here? 50% of this team was people who had the ability to see from a higher perspective and could see what was going on with Moses and how it connected to what was going on with Joshua. I would like to propose that this is the generation that God is raising up to be able to clearly see and make connections from heaven to the earth, to be able to speak into our lives and say, I want to connect a couple of dots for you. I want to propose that not only is the Joshua generation arising, the 20-year-olds who are going to actually be going out and doing this stuff, but the Moseses, the Aarons, and the Hurs as coming together as the 3W team to bring in national victories is what the Lord is doing right now in this time of transition. And because of that, the enemy is launching seduction, illusions, and entrapment to prevent this from ever taking place. I shared this, and I was telling one of my brothers who I'm very close to, and he's very prophetic as well. And I said, I understand Moses' perspective in this story, and I understand Joshua's perspective in this story. I'm not sure if I fully can grasp Aaron and Hur in this. And he looks at me and said, dude, you're the Aaron. Yeah. Can you not see the dots that are being connected for the body of Christ? Here's what it is. When you are in one of those positions, often you don't think that's you. For example, when John the Baptist, when the Pharisees came to him, they said, hey, John, are you a prophet? And he's like, no, I'm not a prophet. No, I am not a prophet. And they come to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, is John your cousin? Is he a prophet? And Jesus said, oh yeah, he is a prophet. Sometimes you can get so busy being involved in the assignment that God has given you, you don't even realize what kind of title somebody, I mean, really, you don't even care about a title that somebody else wants to give you because you're actually doing the thing. And I'm so glad Caden's here because he's from Northwest. And I think Caden represents this Joshua generation that God is raising up that will be boots on the ground, that will advance the plans, the purposes of God here in this time. Okay, about done. So the question is, can we recognize... You can't say Moses was the leader in this story. He was, but he wasn't the only leader in this story. Moses was the leader in this story. Joshua was a leader in this story. Aaron, the brother of Moses, Hur, the brother-in-law of Moses, were leaders in this story. Look, it's a team of leaders coming together. The 3W team, the worshipers, the watchers, and the warriors, to advance national victories for the kingdom of God that is at hand. I pray that we would be able to recognize the warriors that God has placed in our camp. I pray that we would be able to recognize the Aarons and the Hurs who can see things and start making decisions. We need to get a rock and we need to get it over here right now. We need to get under Moses' hands and we need to do it right now. Without asking any questions, they see what needs to be done and they just do it. Do you see how this is working together as a body? And the Moseses, these are the guys who have had proven track records. Not that they're perfect. I mean, Moses was, you know, he killed a guy. He done a lot of crazy things. But his past did not prevent him from being wanted. Not needed by God, but wanted by God to perform this task on this day. I would like to propose to you that this is where we are in transition in the body of Christ. I had that dream on December the 18th on a Wednesday night. On Friday, December the 20th, I got this message from Jan. Gotta watch this video. Try to click onto it. I couldn't watch it. Sent me another link on Saturday morning. Finally, the link works. It's Paul Keith Davis sharing a dream that he had had on December the 13th. And in his dream... I'll close with this and we'll have questions and answers if anybody wants to do that or whatever you want to do. So Paul Keith Davis, I'm going to do the Michael Watkins summary on this. So he has this dream, he has this vision, he has this encounter, and the Lord speaks to him two specific things. And he said, the first one, what came illegally to the earth in Genesis chapter number 5 and 6 with the fall of the angels, the creation of the Nephilim, the giants, what came to the earth illegally then is going to come legally through the body of Christ in this generation. Now, what came illegally during that time? There were such technology advancements that took place in that time prior to the flood. I don't have a lot of time to get into that. But there were such advances that took place during that time. It changed. It changed the course of humanity. But it came illegally. We are going to see legal, as sons of God, legal access to technology advancements in the body of Christ that the world is waiting on. And number two, what was just limited to India, places like India and Africa, we'll start seeing those types of demonstration of spiritual activity here in the United States. Now, when he said that, I was like, could that be the return of the ancient spirits? And he goes into saying this. He said, the Lord took him back, like his 1960. And he was in a Billy Graham, in this stadium. And Billy Graham was preaching. And at the end, there was an altar call. There's thousands of people standing up in a nice, neat line, coming down to the front to give their lives to Jesus. And then scene changed, and it's modern day time, and Paul Keith Davis is holding a microphone in a stadium with thousands of people. Bless you. And as he's doing this, there is this girl who's walking down the aisle, and she's about 100 pounds, real young girl, and she's picking up ushers, 200- and 300-pound ushers, and throwing them across the room. Demonized, coming down the aisle, throwing people, coming down. And he says, I asked Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what you gonna do about this little girl over here? And Holy Spirit says, you're the one with the microphone. What you going to do about it? He said, okay, go now. Boom, instantly. The girl was delivered. The demon was gone. He said, this is the transition that's coming to the body of Christ. Going from the nice, neat altar calls of everybody coming down, let's go, to full-blown manifestations that have just been seen in India and Africa and third world countries are going to be seen here in America on such a way that it's going to be it's going to be one of those pivotal moments for the body of Christ to stand up and for the bride to be a bride, because you can't defeat demons that you enjoy playing with.
Oh, that's good.
So the difference in the transition is we're going from this nice, neat, wrapped up all at the end, voila, here we go, to it's about to get messy. Are you ready for the mess? Are you ready for the showdown like on Mount Carmel between the 850 false prophets and Elijah? Are you ready for those types of confrontations? Because that's what's coming. And when he said that, I thought, this is the return of the ancient spirits into America. And it's time for the bride, time for the body to be the body and take authority that has been given, because showdown is coming. Showdown is coming. And so since there's not a trap without a trail, I'm telling you, now is the time to get clean. Now is the time to get serious with the Lord. So, Father, I just thank you. That you're raising up this 3W team. These third heaven worshipers. The watchers. And the warriors. To advance your plan and your purpose. And we see from this, if one of those people groups was missing, there would not have been a national victory that day. We want to pray into this and make sure that not one of those people groups are missing, and that we are a part of those people groups, and we understand our position, whether we're Joshua's on the ground, or we're watchers, or we are worshipers, that we are in our lane, on our post, doing what you have invited us to do, not because you need us, but because you want us. And we thank you that you want us, that you want us. And so for every person who feels like that they are in that place of entrapment because of the seduction and the lies of the enemy and the illusions, I thank you that today that you are bringing them out, bringing us out of that place of entrapment, and every string that the enemy has tried to attach to try to reel us back in, I thank you that those strings are being severed by the sword of the Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Show us our place. Reveal to us, Lord, at the moment that we need to be on the Joshua team, or the Watcher team, or the worshiping team. Lord, we know it's going to take a team to bring about a national victory. And I thank you, you are preparing us now for a national victory. And Lord, we give you all of the praise, the honor and the glory for it. I thank you for strength right now over your people. Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Before I step down, I do have two words I want to share. I was in the parking lot and the word of the Lord came to me. Over two people and over the house that I want to speak, if that's okay. Okay, for two people, Sean, I got a word for you, Sean. Okay. I heard the Lord say the gears are turning and the wheels are rolling. And as the gears turn and the wheels roll, there is a rhythm and there is a flow. And he said, the flow is going to take you where the wheels can't go. So go with the flow. Go with the flow. All right. Got it? All right. Now, we'll take a while to unpack that. I feel like that was a Bob Jones word. there was a lady that is not here now. She was here. I saw her just a minute ago. All right, I'll get back to that. Okay, over RC, the apostolic atmosphere has increased and is expanding. Maybe that's why we're connected together. There's just an expansion of the... So the apostolic atmosphere has increased and has expanded over this house, over this city, and over this region. He said the price has already been paid and the assignment has already been accepted. Now, the apostolic angel over this house. Remember several years ago, I think it's 2015 or 16, where I told you about the vision of the apostolic angel in the apostolic angel over this house is advancing with you and with this house. And he says, so because of that, you're going to notice and recognize specific victories. Some will be seen, some will be unseen. And because of this, there will be a group of unnamed heroes that will arise. Arise, arise, arise. The Joshuas will advance, the Aarons and Hurs will connect the dots and respond. In worship, what I found that was so interesting is usually God shows me stuff through dreams or visions, and it's rarely I open encounters where I see just like I'm seeing you. But in worship, I saw right over here where these five posts were, there were five generals from the angelic armies of heaven. There were five generals who were there. And as you guys were reading out those declarations from those 21 prayers, and you were declaring and decreeing, those generals, those archangels, were writing down those decrees. They were writing those down. And after everything that was said, they had the list of all of the things that were declared and decreed and prayed over. And there was a mass publication of those documents that went out into the angelic armies that were dispatched to bring about and to influence the things that were spoken in this room tonight, to go and influence, and bring to pass. You have to know, with the apostolic assignment of this house, the things that are declared and decreed and spoken, vocalized in this house, these guys are writing those things down and dispatching. And it's like when everybody was finished and those papers that they had been writing on, they were just like, it's written. And as they said, it is written. Whoosh, that one paper turned into millions of papers that went into millions of hands of millions of angels that were in charge of making sure that what those things were declared would be influenced. So you better make sure that what you're saying... Whew. I am so glad that you're back in the room. I saw you before the service as I was sitting in the parking lot as I just pulled in. Actually, as I was pulling across the train tracks, I saw, and I put in my notes here, lady with black hair, long black hair, and a blue shirt. And I think your shirt is blue, right? It looks blue from here. All right. And so when I saw you, I just knew that this was you. And so it's kind of sad when you left, but then I'm happy now that you're back. So, all right, here's this word. You've been through the fire, and now he's causing you to rise above the floods. Because there's two fronts the enemy wants to hit you with. He wants to hit you. You know, God uses fire, but the enemy uses fire too. And the enemy uses fire to destroy, but God uses fire to purify. But you've been through the fire, but now God says, I'm causing you to rise above the flood. As you stir up the gift that is within you, it will become a flow. And a flow of the manifestation of the kingdom of God. So keep flowing as you go. Keep flowing as you go and keep rising above, because the same way that he gave his son in the book of Revelation 12 wings to rise above the flood and to fly, and how the earth opened up to consume the flood that was coming again. God says, I'm going to cause the earth to cooperate, to open up and swallow up the flood. So you're rising above that flood. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like, that twofold attack, you're at the end of it. You're rising above. Does that make sense?
I receive that.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. I'm done.
Man, that was so plain and simple and clear. You struggled through it. You said you were struggling through it.
I'm still struggling.
You've done good. There's two things I do want us to do to put a closure on this, so it's not just a good message. Trails, things that sort of haunt you, or things that pop up, patterns that you know it's not always the best. He prayed through that and declared through that. And so you keep doing that. Something he mentioned when we were together, and I want to mention it again. You know, it is a spiritual warfare. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. When those seductions start coming back, whatever they may be for you, depression, lust, discouragement, anger, if you pray in tongues, start praying in tongues and change your view. Run and do something different. I did an article recently. You can find it out there on CraigBCooper.com. If you're on our text and email, you saw it. About it's the importance of running away. So what does that mean? Change your circumstances and pray in tongues. Don't sit there and go, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this. Get out of the house or get in the house or whatever makes sense. But praying in tongues is powerful. And so I would encourage you to do that at those times. If you don't pray in tongues, we'll stay here and pray with you tonight. And for it, because you'll get it. Sometimes it's instantly. Usually when I pray for you, it's maybe a week later. So if somebody's got a better, then you can pray with them. But we'll pray for you and you'll get it. But pray in tongues regularly.
Yes.
You're going to find a lot of those illusions will go away, or you'll see through them by praying in tongues. And Michael, we were talking about this at lunch. Because it's spirit to spirit. It bypasses your mind. You don't have to understand it. All of a sudden you just get revelation. So pray in tongues. That's powerful. And let me do the second thing and we'll end. The second thing is those three W's was great. Worshippers, watchmen, and
warriors.
We will talk about this sometime in the future. I'm not going to promise when. At 5:30 or maybe even when I preach. But which one are you? Which one do you lean towards? Think about it. Don't just go, this is a good message. Am I more of a worshiper from the heavens? Am I more of a warrior? Or more of a watchman or a watcher. The first thought that just came to your mind is probably what you are. Maybe not, but think through it. And there are many different types of worshipers, and there are three watchmen. I mean, just real quick, Isaiah 62:6, watchmen on the walls. Those are people that these are three different watchers that see different things because their assignment's different. The watchmen on the walls, as it says in Isaiah 62:6, I don't want to teach again, but because we've had a great teaching, is more of a governmental position, maybe for the government, for a company, or for, you know, an elder in a church type thing. Then in Song of Solomon 5:7a, it talks about watchmen in the city streets. These are the people that walk among people, and they see, the watchmen on the walls see how things are being affected for a whole government. People that, you may be a watchman that you see things on people, and you know how to help them get free. And then it talks about in Jeremiah 4:17, like watchmen of a field. There's watchmen in the field. So there may be more, but there's at least three watchmen. That the fields are those that are with the unbelievers that are out in the harvest. And so just think about it this next week. We may even talk about it next Sunday night. We'll see. Am I bent towards a worshiper or a warrior or a watcher? Because if you start knowing that, then it'll help you hone in on your assignment and your place. And so seriously, think about that. And we will circle back around sometime. I'm not going to commit Jan to doing that by next Sunday night because we usually wait till Friday or Saturday and see what the Lord's saying. But somewhere down the road, or maybe it's just for you. And so I'm going to release you because it is after 8. But if you want to stay and ask questions, can you stay for a few minutes?
Yeah, I'll stay.
We can just gather around a table and you can ask them questions. But I know some of you's got a lot of little kids. And but I'm excited. Maturity is growing in the body of Christ like crazy. And it's because He's going to give us more influence. And He has given us more influence. And you can feel the maturity level rising. And maturity is not just knowing right or wrong. Maturity is sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And you're getting good at it. And so I congratulate you.